The nation's governors are converging on Washington, D.C. for their annual winter meeting. California's energy crisis is one issue that's likely to interest many state leaders. California's governor, Democrat Gray Davis, has proposed shelling out up to $9 billion to rescue the state's vast power transmission network from the utilities. But other governors, such as Wyoming's Republican Jim Geringer, will report that the energy crisis has benefited their states. I spoke with Davis and Geringer about this weekend's meeting. Davis says the gatherings provide a chance for state leaders to brainstorm.
Well, I always look forward to meeting with the governors, particularly the governors-only lunches, and I get to see how other governors are dealing with education, health care, the environment, and other issues that we're dealing with in California. And invariably, I come away with two or three good ideas that I didn't come with originally.
Have you asked them all to bring quantities of power you can take back home?
I didn't, but I would certainly appreciate it if they brought any with them.
What has that done to the economy of your state?
Well, there's no question this is a major challenge, and we've probably shipped at least $14 billion more for electricity this past year than we did 12 months ago out of the state to the companies that bought our power plants. But we are working at warp speed to solve the problem by stabilizing prices, adding a great deal more generation online this summer, next summer, and by the year 2002, and also very, very aggressive conservation efforts.
You think California has been giving other states lessons in how not to deregulate?
Well, deregulation may or may not be able to work, but I can tell you this, it won't work unless you have a surplus of power. In other words, the power you have exceeds the demand. I met with Alan Greenspan. He made very clear to me that this system only works if you have about a 15% surplus. So if states are importing power, I can assure them that deregulation won't work. Also, if you're going to deregulate, make sure you have a policy where the plants that are sold to generators must first serve the needs of your state. Again, we didn't do that in California. Unfortunately, we've become a case study in how not to successfully deregulate. And I'm not about to run around the country and tell people to follow our lead. My primary and sole focus is to solve this problem. That's what I was hired to do, to solve problems and to get back to my passion, which is education.
Aside from power problems, this economic downturn seems to be uneven across the country. Some governors have something to report there, others don't. What's been your situation?
California will continue to grow, albeit at a reduced rate than last year. But there's no question that the growth rate will be more subdued than the previous year.
Now, what about education? The new president has been very anxious to talk about education.
We're actually pretty much in sync with President Bush on education because a number of the proposals he's pushing, we've already adopted. Our education plan requires that kids be tested in grades 2 through 11. We have a high-stakes accountability program where when schools get better than those schools were the year before, there are many financial rewards to the schools. While I don't agree with the president on vouchers, the rest of his program, I think, makes sense.
What about schools losing federal funds if they're not performing?
Well, I do think there have to be consequences for schools that are not doing well. If your daughter is in a school that for 3 years in a row shows no improvement at all, and my daughter's in a school that's getting better at a rate of 7 or 8% a year, after 3 years, that's a big gap. In California, the consequences are the school either shuts down, or we replace the principal, or we replace all the teachers. There are consequences if schools fail, and that is the flip side to the positive aspects of our accountability program, which provide bonuses up to $25,000 per individual teachers if their students show extraordinary improvement over the scores those very same students had a year ago.
Very good, Governor. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
California Governor Gray Davis chairs the Democratic Governors Association. Republican Governor Jim Geringer will report that his state is doing pretty well, his state being Wyoming, thanks in part to Davis's energy problems.
Wyoming traditionally lags the national economy by about a couple of years. If it's a downturn, we're still in an upswing and vice versa. So what we're experiencing in Wyoming right now is still catching the wave of momentum on an upturn, particularly because of what's happening in the energy sector. Wyoming has quite a bit of energy that is being produced right now, and that has been quite sustaining both for the general economy as well as the state revenue coffers.
I wonder if the other governors have shared their experiences in how an economic downturn might affect welfare reform, which has been a relative success.
I guess it depends on what happens with how the economy emerges from here, if those people will be able to retain those jobs or move up. We're still seeing all over the Rocky Mountain West a shortage of skilled workers in any number of areas. So I would look at that in two ways. One is if their five-year limitation on benefits expires and they haven't found work, yes, there could be an impact. What we are doing in Wyoming is working to upgrade the skills educationally and otherwise so that whatever happens, people can move up into those other skilled areas that are still in shortage for workers.
President Bush is very enthusiastic about his education proposals. Do you hear something there that might work for you in Wyoming?
Well, one of the things that he has asked about is, would we be able to allow the dollars to follow the student? Some call it a voucher. In Wyoming, we don't have that many alternative schools, but we do encourage other ways for kids to improve their opportunity, whether it be by tutoring or distance learning. And I would say that distance learning as an alternative would be one of the most appealing things in Wyoming. There's a lot of spaces between places in Wyoming, and we're the least populated state, but ninth largest geographically. We have those challenges to overcome whatever might come down with the new initiatives at the federal level.
A lot of talk of election reform since the debacle of November. You have punch card ballots there?
We have a few left in Wyoming. We have an extremely successful rate, even where we have punch cards. Even some close races. Mayor of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, won by, I believe, a scant 9 votes this last time. But the recount went smoothly, and there wasn't even an appeal to the Supreme Court.
Much support for tax cuts in your state?
Interestingly, not. We have a revenue surplus in Wyoming this year. It's rather substantial. It's almost the equivalent of 1 year's entire general funding. There is authority for the governor to cut sales taxes by 0.5% if there's a given amount of money on the table at the end of this current legislative session. I have proposed to cut those taxes. There has not been a strong response to back that up. I still have the authority to do that should that surplus be available at the end of the session. And I view that as an opportunity to help ease the energy cost, because as California has seen prices go up and it rippled all through the West, our own consumers in Wyoming have felt that same impact. I think once that is well understood, the tax cut would be much more popular.
Well, Governor, thank you.
Well, thank you, Bob.
The Governor of Wyoming, Jim Geringer.